Have you ever considered the enormous power contained in the two words that we're looking at this series? Hidden within the phrase, what if, is practically unlimited potential, both for good and for evil. Let me say that again. Hidden within these two words is practically unlimited potential, both for good and for evil. Let me put it this way. Behind almost every great moment of discovery, behind every technological advancement, behind every medical breakthrough, or behind any moral victory that you can ever imagine, almost all of humanity's greatest feats came true because at one point somebody said, what if? There is enormous potential. There is enormous potential in the power of possibility. What if smallpox no longer existed in the world, someone once thought? What if women were allowed to vote, thought someone? What if the slave trade was an affront to human decency and should be stopped? There's a great line in the Tom Hanks movie, Apollo 13, where Jim Lovell has come back from the moon and he's sitting on his deck chair and he's marveling at this amazing feat of mankind. And he says these words, "From now on, we live in a world where man has walked on the moon. And it's not a miracle." What does he say next? "We just decided to go." What is the secret to landing on the moon? We just decided to go. In other words, a bunch of people sat around in a room and thought, what if we could put man on the moon? And yet, with the power of possibility, we also find contained within it the power for great evil. What if we could build a gun that could shoot more bullets faster than anyone else's? What if we could eliminate an entire culture from the face of the earth? What if we could make money out of the vulnerable? All began with the power of possibility, the power of imagination. Contained within these two words are enormous power. And so over the course of this series, we're going to put to test that theory. We're going to ask ourselves the questions. What if life was different? What if things aren't as they are now? What if they could be better? And so we're going to look at some of these topics, like, what if I had no fear? What if fear wasn't a problem in our world? What if I could live happily ever after? Is that even possible? What if I truly belonged? What if I could find meaningful rest? And our question today, what if I was in control? What if I was in control? What if you were in control? Would the world be a better place? Would you be happier if you were in control? Another way of looking at it is, what if I was in charge? What if I made the rules? What if I called the shots? What if I was the boss? It's the same question, really. Would you be happier? Would this be a better world? Would at least your little bit of the world be a better place if you were in control? Because really, who doesn't want to be in control? Let me put it another way. Have you ever thought to yourself, gee, I really wish I had a little bit less control of my life. I really wish more people were in charge of me. I really wish I had less to think about because all I did was be a sheep and followed everyone around. I really wish I had less control. Hands up if you ever thought that. I don't think any of us do. We all want control. And you know what? When we want control and we don't get it, things happen. What happens when we want control and we can't get it? Well, I reckon we're onto something when we say we get either anxious or angry. If you want to be in control in your life, if you want to control your circumstances, God forbid it, if you want to try and control your kids and you find that you can't, I can guarantee you, you will have one, if not both, of these two responses. You will either get so anxious, so overwhelmed at the inability to control things that you'll break down. Your anxiety will rise. Your level of stress will rise. Your blood pressure will rise. Or perhaps you're one of those people who, instead of getting anxious, would get angry. When things don't go your way, when people don't listen to you, when you don't have that kind of control, you can just feel anger rising within you, and you snap. Now, different people show anger in different ways. Anger doesn't mean you just want to go and punch people. Anger shows itself differently in all sorts of different people. And if I'm honest, when I feel like I want control and I don't have it, anger is the response that I go to. And never do I feel it more than between the hours of 6 and 7 o'clock in the evening. It's my job between the hours of 6 and 7 o'clock to put my three eldest kids fed, bathed, and into bed. And every night I say to myself, I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to raise my voice. I'm not going to raise my voice. Jack, will you eat your food, please? Can you please have one bath without screaming at each other? I just feel myself getting angry. I wonder if you can relate. When we aren't in control and we want to be in control, we get either anxious or angry at the fact that we can't. So today we want to ask ourselves the question, would our life be better if we were in control? Would your life be better if you were the boss? I got to say, I really, really, really wanted to say that the answer is no. In fact, my original draft sermon, I thought the answer is clearly no. But I think the answer is actually possibly. I couldn't lie to myself. Maybe, just maybe, if your situation is so bad at the moment, if you've got a terrible boss, notice that I'm looking in this direction, if you have a terrible boss, maybe your life actually would be better if you were in control. A little bit. But I want to say there is actually something even better. There is something so much better than being in control. It's hard to imagine, really, isn't it? We spend our whole time thinking, if only I was the boss, then everything would be okay. But I want to say there's something better than that. And in order to tease that out, because this is what the rest of the sermon will be about, in order to tease out that idea that things would not be the best if you were in control, I want to consider a quote by an American pastor that I really enjoy listening to, who says this: people either trust God or they try to be God. All people either trust God or try to be God. There is no such thing as a middle ground. Now you might say, well, you know, I trust God. I do. And most of us, I would imagine, would think that way. But we never say, you know, I trust God, but I trust God in almost, I really do trust God, but except when it comes to human sexuality and the way we use our body. Or I trust God with everything, except my money. You see, you know, if Jesus was around in the 21st century Sydney, where mortgage prices are where they are and cost of living, you know, I trust God in every area except fill in the blanks. We like to think that that's a good, safe middle ground, but it's really not. Anytime we say, I trust God, but we ourselves have assumed the place of God. Every time we say, I trust God, but we say, well, God has this view of life. God is in control. He's doing really well. But in this area here, I can actually see a little bit better than God. I actually know myself and I know the world just that little bit better than God. He might know best in all these areas, But really, what are we saying when we think that? We're not thinking it subconsciously, but deep down, what are we actually saying? We're saying, actually, we have a higher field of view than God. We get to choose where God is right and where God is wrong. We get to choose where we trust God and where we trust ourselves. We either trust God or we try to be God. And the desire to gain control is the desire to be God. The desire to say, I want my little part of the world to be just as I want it, is the desire to be God. Again, we never think this way, at least not out loud. We never go home and say, you know what, today I'm declaring myself God of this household and you will do as I say. I never think that. I never think between the hours of 6 and 7 o'clock of any night of the week, I am God and my children shall obey me. But I act that way when it doesn't happen. We all want to be God. We all want to be in control. And let me tell you, we all make terrible gods. Friends, we're going to get to some good news soon, I promise. This is wonderful, wonderful news. But let me begin by saying, you and I and the person sitting next to you, we're going to come to that soon, we make terrible gods. One place to look at it, put your outline or your church news in Mark 10. We're going to come back to it. But flick back with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. This is one reason that we make absolutely terrible gods, because we are so time limited. Our perspective is so small. James 4, starting at verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Come now, we who say, oh, you know, I'm going to retire in 3 years' time, and between then I'm going to do this, that, and the other. Come, we who say, you know, what I'd really love for Christmas is a Boxing Day where I just get to sit in front of the TV all day and have packets of chips and a few drinks and there's going to be no noise. Come, you who think you know what's going to happen, because let me tell you, it doesn't. Verse 14, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. One of the reasons you and I make terrible gods, one of the reasons that we get so frustrated, so angry, or so anxious when we're not in control, is because we are so time limited. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And not only are we time limited, we're space limited. Not only do you not know what's going to happen tomorrow, you don't know what's happening in your house right this moment. Anything could be happening in your house right this moment. I hope it's not. Anything could be happening. We don't know. We make terrible gods because we are so, so limited. This is not just a James thing. Matthew 6:27. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of their life? We have no control over how we come into the world. We have no control over how we leave the world. We have no ability to extend our days. You might think, I go to the gym. I take all sorts of supplements. I look after my body as if it's a temple. God looks down and laughs. It's a good thing to look after our bodies, but to think that we can add to our life is foolish. We are so limited in our perspective. There's a great chapter in the book of Job. If you're familiar with the book of Job, it's an incredible story. We're going to camp out in Job a little bit more in a couple of weeks' time. But Job's life is turned upside down. There's no two ways about it. Job has a horrible bunch of circumstances happen to him. And then he gets a bunch of mates who come and seek to do the right thing, and they do until they open their mouth. And they come up with all sorts of complaints against Job. And Job himself sort of says, you know, I don't understand it. Maybe God's being unjust, maybe. And God comes back to him in Job chapter 38. and ask a bunch of questions. Questions like, where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Were you the one who said to the waves, here and no further? Did you place the stars in the sky? God says to Job, you might think you know a bit, but compared to me, you know nothing. Friends, we all either trust God or we try to be God. And let me tell you, we make terrible gods. It's not just the Bible that tells us that. Let me do a little experiment. I want you to picture in your mind the person here that's closest to you. It might be the person you came in with. It might be the person you're sitting near. Don't look at them. You've already looked at them, haven't you? And if you hadn't, you have now. I want you to close your eyes. Close your eyes and picture the person nearest to you. Come on, I can see eyes open, eyes closed. In a moment, I want you to raise your hand if you would happily give control of your life over to the person that you're thinking of. If you would happily leave all your circumstances into their charge. If you would happily let them be the boss of your life. If you would follow them. If you would, hands up, if you think you would happily give control of your life to the person that you're thinking of. Hands down, eyes open. There are two people in this room who think that someone else could do a good job. I'll speak to you afterwards to tell you why you're wrong. You know, what makes you think that you would do a good job controlling your own life when nobody else would like you to control their life? When the person next to you says, you want to control my life? You think you can do a good job being my boss? If no one thinks you'd be good at being their boss, what makes you think you'd be any good if you were in control? We make terrible gods. We've seen it in snapshot form. We've seen it in illustration form. Let me now say that the whole story of the Bible is about mankind trying to take control, and it always ends badly. Think back to Genesis. God has made this beautiful world. He's made this lovely garden. God himself wanders around with his people. There is perfect communion between man and man, between man and God, between man and his world. Everything is as it should be. And the serpent comes, and what does it tempt Adam and Eve with? The ability to take control. Did God really say, you shall not touch this fruit? That deception that Satan launched on that first day in Genesis chapter 3 was, wouldn't you be better? Wouldn't you be happier if you were in control? Wouldn't you be happier if you made the rules? Wouldn't you be happier if you got to decide what was right and what was wrong, what was good and what was bad, what was wise and what was foolish? Wouldn't you be better? Wouldn't you be happier if you were in control? And everything has gone pear-shaped ever since. Genesis 1 to 11 is one spiraling picture of humanity trying to get more and more control. And when we realize we can't get more and more control, what comes out? Anxiety or anger. And so we see brothers murdering brothers. We see people becoming mass murderers and boasting about it. Ultimately, we see mankind deciding we want control once and for all, literally and figuratively. So we're going to build a tower where we can overthrow God. We want to take control. It is human nature within us to want to be the boss. We want to take control. And God says, for our benefit, you will not make a name for yourself. And he scatters people to the far ends of the earth. And then in Genesis 12, he says to Abraham, I will give you a name. Mankind wanted to make a name for themselves. Mankind wanted to be in control. God says to Abraham, I will put you in control, but in a very particular way, in a very limited way, in that through you all people on earth will be blessed. The story of the Old Testament is God offering himself to be the God of Israel. God saying, this is good, this is right, trust me, I'm in control. And what did Israel do? We try to take control ourselves. Israel spends the entire period of the Old Testament saying, we want to be God. We want to have a king like all the other nations. The book of Judges says there was no king and every man went about doing what he thought was right. The story of mankind is us trying to grasp control from God and doing a horrible job at it. In fact, the more one person or one government tries to grasp hold of power and control, the more evil they seem able to do. We all make terrible gods. But there is an alternative. There is good news. And the alternative is trusting in Jesus, the one whom God has given all control to. And so come back with me to Mark chapter 10 and the request of James and John. You heard the story read. James and John come up to Jesus and they say that really stupid question that our kids say all the time. Can you do whatever I ask? Can you give me a wish and just do whatever I say? And Jesus says, okay, this ought to be good. What are you going to ask for? And they say, when you go into your kingdom, can we sit one on your left, one on your right? In other words, can we be the boss? I mean, not the big boss. We know you're the boss, but can we be the little bosses? Can we be in control of, you know, half the kingdom each under you? Can we be the boss? And Jesus says, you have no idea what you are asking for. He then goes on to talk about the cup and baptism, and that's a story for another sermon. Verse 41, when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. Not because, how dare you ask that question, but how dare you got in before us? We wanted to ask that question. We wanted to be the boss. We wanted to be in control. And then in verse 42, Jesus says these incredible words. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who were regarded as rulers of the Gentiles, you know those who are the bosses within the Gentiles, you know those who have control, lord it over the people. And their high officials exercise authority and dominance over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus turned control on its head. Jesus said, those of you who want control, you want it for yourself. You want it so that your life would be easier, that your life would be better, that you would be more comfortable, that you would be more blessed. And it doesn't work. How's it been going for the last 2,000 years, 3,000 years? How's it been going for you? You want control so that you might be happy by putting yourself above other people. Let me tell you, there's a better way. And that better way is serving. That better way is actually considering others better than yourself. The better way is doing as I have done and giving my life for others. Jesus says, you know what? You can be happy and in control. You can be the boss. You can be a good boss. You can have some semblance of control. But you won't be happy if you use that control to serve yourself. You'll only end up angry or anxious. But if you use whatever control or lack of control that you have to serve other people, that is where true life can be found. Let me finish with this idea. The greatest happiness comes not from being in control, but by trusting that Jesus is in control and focusing instead on serving others. What if we didn't try and control everything in life? What if we let life be where it is? What if we say, I have control in this circumstance, and I'm going to use that control to serve others, and I'm going to trust Jesus? Here's an area of life, like 99.99% of it, where I don't have control, and I'm going to use my lack of control to help me trust Jesus and to serve others. We all think that life would be better if we were in charge. But let me tell you, it won't be. Not in any lasting way. And even if you manage to make your life better by you being in control, if you don't do it well, life's going to be a whole lot worse for everybody around you. Ask your family. They will know. But if we use whatever life has given us to not try and be God, but to trust God, and if we use whatever control we have not to lord it over people, not to try and boast, but to serve, then friends, not only will your life be happier, but so will everyone around you. Friends, we can either try and trust God, or we can try and be God. And happiness can only be found in one of those two. Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And he was not talking about commands. He was talking about life. And so as we wrap up 2019 and head into 2020, I wonder if next year you would be less anxious, less angry, and just overall happier if you gave up trying to be in control. You gave your life over to Jesus, who is in control, who does have all of time and all of space within his perspective. If you gave control over to him and you focused on trusting him and serving and loving others, friends, life would be a so much better place. Church would be so much a better place. And people would flock to be part of this group of people who, instead of trying to control others, loved and served one another, just as our Savior taught, just as our Savior modeled. That would be incredible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're sorry for the times that we have tried to grasp control of life, especially because we know we can't. And even when we do such a crummy job at it. Help us instead to trust you, who is in control. Help us to trust you and to use whatever control, limited control we do have, to love and serve others. And would you bless us and others through it? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.